You're listening to Amud V'Chazara, Daniel Eisenberg, Masechah Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, starting from Nun Hey Amud Beis at the bottom. So we are in a series of discussions I guess you can call it vindications of various Tanakh personalities that are condemned by the text of the Torah itself, and discussions about whether they truly sinned or to what degree they sinned. So just in time for next week, we already started with discussion of Reuven. So we're already a head start on Parshas Vayishlach for next week. And we just did the B'nai Eli. And next on the list are the B'nai Shmuel, David, Shlomo, Yoah, and Yoash, as quoted as the Simon just before this discussion. And today we will be dealing with B'nai Shmuel briefly, and then a long discussion on David that we won't even finish today, because the Rav will finish tomorrow night in Mirat Hashem. So we just spoke about Chofni and Pinchas, the sons of Eli, and that the text says that they did certain things, and then the discussion in the Tanaim and Amoraim discussing whether or not that they actually did what the Navi Shmuel alleges that they did. Amar Rav Shmuel, last line. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Amar Rav Yonah son. Kol HaOmer, and this is right. This is how at least a bunch of these start, and could be all of them do. Anybody who says B'nei Shmuel Chatu, the children of Shmuel sinned, Eino Ela Toa, they are only making a mistake. It's a mistake, if you say this. Now, what this means is, at least to some degree, if you assume that if you take the text at face value. So what does it say about Shmuel? So it says in Shmuel Aleph, Shneimar, Pasuk says, Vayihi kizokin Shmuel banav lo hilachu bedvarachav. So the pasuk says that when Shmuel was old, his sons did not go in his ways. And then the end of the pasuk, I don't have it in front of me, but it seems to indicate that they took bribes. I think we'll quote it here. It's right here. Vayetu achrei betza. They went after betza, after monetary benefit. So that's pretty bad that they didn't go in accordance with Shmuel. However, the Gemara over here is asserting that anybody who says that they did this was a mistake. By the way, this is what leads to the discussion about having a melech, because Shmuel would like for his sons to take over for him. He is the shofet. He is the navi, but he's also the shofet. He goes around. He's the judge, and he is essentially the leader. Before the times of the malachim, there were shoftim, and he hopes that his sons will take over for him. And the navi says that they did not follow in his ways, and the people requested that Shmuel instead appoint a king over them instead of having a shofet, and because they didn't like his sons. So let's have a king. We'll have a dynasty. There'll be the leader will be a set system for the leader. And then Shmuel gets very upset about that. But that leads to the appointment of Shaul. So this is the prelude to that. And but listen to the diuk of the Gemara. It says, "Vehiki zokin Shmuel banav lo halachu bidrachav." So bidrachav hu de lo halachu. But right. So in his ways they didn't go. Michtanami lo chatu. But to really sin, no, they didn't actually sin. At least not to the extent as the pasuk seems to describe. Meaning that if you have like this, massive criminal. Right, so you say like to say something like he didn't walk in the path. If you say if not sarcastically, if you say he didn't walk in the path of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, right? So like of course not. He's Rav Chaim Kanievsky is a tzaddik, and this is a horrible human being. Right? Now, if you're saying it like in joke, like, you know, if you want to talk about somebody, like, you sarcastically, you can say, okay, oh, he's not Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know, if he's an arrogant and unintelligent person, he's not Rav Moshe Feinstein. But the Navi's not speaking sarcastically. The Navi says that they didn't walk in the ways of their father. What do you mean they didn't walk in the ways of their father? If they were taking bribes and they were really sinful, that's not walking in the ways of Shmuel HaNavi. That it could not be farther from Shmuel HaNavi. So it's an understatement. If they were actually guilty of that stuff, it's an understatement to say they didn't walk in the ways of the father. And there's similar ideas throughout Malachim about this. When they compare the Malachim to David, that they didn't follow in the ways of David, doesn't necessarily mean that they were so bad. Some of them are really bad. But that's the diuk over here. So Elamani Makayim Vayetu Achrei Avat says, okay, but you still have a problem. So what about the end of the pasuk, which says that they leaned toward, right, they were inclined towards prophets, not prophet like Shmuel Hanavi, prophet like Prophet, right? Shelo asu kemaisa avihem, because they didn't do what their father did. Shahaya Shmuel atzadik machazer b'chol makomos Yisrael v'dano samba rehen. He was a traveling judge. He would go around to the different cities. He would make appearances, right? Call of a Rebbe, going around to different locations, and running courts there. Shneimer, the pasuk says, "V'halach amidei shana b'shana v'savei beis el v'hagilgal v'amitzvah v'shafat es Yisrael." Right, that he went all around doing this. V'heim lo asukein el yashuv ba'rehem kedei laharbos sachar l'chazinehem l'sof rehem. And they didn't do this. They didn't go around. They didn't want the travel expenses. Rather, they stayed in one place. Could be they judged, but they stayed in one place, and were able to try to increase, you know, get money for their like their attendants and their scribes. But what they were doing, right? Rashi just says shemesim shesochrino san lelich lahazmenes and nekraim ladin. So from the shelter, right? So basically, that they would do their business from home. So not that they were actually taking bribes, but for financial reasons, they didn't do as good a job as their father. And the Torah, you know, will judge tzaddikim kechuta sa'ara, like this, like a you know, thin hair or thread. That people on this level should have not considered the financial. You know, this financial loss compared to the loss of having a judge going around being with the people and making his presence felt everywhere. So they didn't do that in favor of financial reasons, and then therefore the Navi holds them accountable as if, you know, Kaviyachal they did such a thing, but they did not. That's one opinion. However, as the Gemara says, Kitanoi, but it's actually a machlokas tanoim. Vayetu achrei betza. So here we have this brisa over here, which says that they turned after benefit, a financial benefit. Remeir omer chelkam sha'olu b'fihem. That they, what does it mean that they tried to get this, they turned towards profit? That they asked for their chelek with their mouths. Rashi says, Maiser Rishon, haroi lehem shalevim hayu. There, Shmuel Navi is a Levi. His father Elkanah was a Levi, and probably his grandfather was a Levi too. That's usually how this thing works. So there was Maaser Rishon that they were entitled to, and but usually the way it works is that the person takes off Maaser, he finds his local Levi, and he gives it to him. But what they would do, right? So they were. You know, fit. They did fit the bill to receive Maaser, but what did they do? They would ask Beferish, "Oh no, are you giving me your Maaser?" They would go around to Israel, "Oh, you're giving me your Maaser?" And mitoch shahayu gedolei hador, says Rashi, v'shoftim, because they were gedolei hador and shoftim lo hayu monim mehem. No one would hold back from them, right? Anyway, it's awkward, you know. Anyway, a Levi comes up, so you give him, right, Avi, right, I'm sure this happens all the time. You ask people, "So you give me your Maaser?" Especially as the president of the shul now, you can give him the shul Maaser. So so it puts people on the spot, but especially the gedolei hador, the shoftim, so no one could have. What happened? Vishar Leviim, Aniyim, Mitzdarim, all the other Leviim, we're suffering because of it. Remeir lo chatu b'hatias mishpat. And so Remeir says, the Rashi just clarifies, because this sounds pretty bad, but he says no. This is the opinion that's the flattering opinion that they didn't actually pervert justice. It just they created an uncomfortable scenario, and you can also say that they used their positions to their advantage for financial gain, and that was inappropriate. However, to call them to the people who actually took bribes, which Chazal say horrible things about, Pesukim say horrible things about people who take bribes and pervert justice. It's a terrible, terrible sin. So that they didn't do. So that at least that's Remeir Shita. Rabbi Yehuda, back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Malay Hitilo Abale Batim, which seems to be that the Rashis are out of order. And just notice that they gave them business. Nosimlem pragmatia lasokba. Basically, that they worked with a lot of people and appointed people to like business, and they gave them merchandise to sell. And it says mitoch kach hayanimshach libam lahatos din kishabayin lefneim ladun v'haynu chetam, that what happened is because they have their hands involved in many different businesses, so there are a lot of people that they are that they're business partners with who came to court, and it would draw their hearts after them, which makes it seem that it wasn't intentional, but nevertheless it says this was their chait. I don't know what Rashi means over there. Does that mean that this is an opinion that says they did something wrong, like he says explicitly by Remeir, that Remeir says they didn't sin? Does that mean Rabbi Yehuda says that they did indeed sin? I'm not 100% sure. I want to, in a couple of chazars, hopefully I'll have more clarity on this. Rabbi Kiva says, Kupi yaseirish shal meiser not lubizroa. They had an extra large basket for meiser that they took by force, which Yosem and Aroy, says Rashi. So this sounds like they're just thieves. They had an extra big meiser. Okay. And the last opinion is Rabbi Yossi Omer Matanos Natul Bezroa. They took gifts by force. So the first opinion is that in Rashi over here is that Bezroa Lechayab, that they took certain Matanos of the Kohanim by force, and that's a problem because they are Levim. So that's mamish stealing. Another pshat is Matanos Levia, and they took them and Bezroa in advance, meaning that they, instead of waiting to be given it, they took the gifts in advance, which they can technically do. It's not so appropriate. So anyway, but what you have is four Tanaic opinions and a range and a spectrum of how bad they were and how sinful they were. And some of them may not even be as sinful. It's just not so nice and results in bad things for others, but not that they are, not necessarily that the Pasuk is the pasuk condemns them to something that really wasn't as bad. So there are four different opinions. However, the Baal Maimer in the Gemara opens up saying that anybody who says they sinned is making a mistake. But you should know that's the Gemara's opinion. But there are actual multiple opinions in the Mishnah. Okay. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Bionasan Kol Amar David Chata Eino Elatoa. So this is a big one. This is going to take us till really the rest of the Amud. So anybody who says that David sinned is only making a mistake. Shneamar, as it says, "Vayhi David lechol derachav maskil v'ashemi mo v'gomer." That David, in all his ways, was a maskil. He was intelligent, efficient, successful. V'ashemi mo v'gomer, and Hashem was with him. Efshar chataba liado v'shchina imo. Is it possible that a sin came to his hand and the Shechina was with him? Now, of course, what we're saying is relative to what he is accused of. Just to clarify, the basics of the story. I'm sure you're also basically familiar, but just to cover our bases. So David was, he saw a woman named Bathsheba. He saw her bathing, and he had her called to him, and he was with her. And then she became pregnant. And then he had, this is just the simple storyline of the Navi in the text. And then he had her husband, Uriahiti, well, he actually had asked him to pull him out of war and said he can stay home and return to his wife. And Uriahiti refused. And then he sent Uriahiti to the front lines and he was killed. So the pasha pshat of what he's being accused of is adultery and then killing the victim of his of adultery the husband who was in the situation. So that's what he's accused of. And the Gemara says there's no way he did that. There is no way, because it says that he was a maskil and Hashem was with him. Now, one thing I'll add is that I mean, even though throughout Tehillim, David talks about having sinned and you know talks about tshuva and that kind of thing, but throughout the rest of Malachim, the gold standard basically of all kings that kings are judged by, especially kings of Malchus based David. I don't know if the last time you took a look in Malachim, but always the standard is, was he like David his father? This king was pretty good, but he wasn't quite like David his father. This king was really, really evil and did not go in the ways of David his father. David is like the gold standard. Even if there are certain kings that might have been greater, Yoshiahu perhaps, the Navi seems to indicate was greater, Chizkiyahu is incredibly great, but they're always compared to the standard of David. Now, if David is an adulterer and a murderer, that doesn't make sense. Meaning, the simple storyline of the Navi doesn't make sense to assume that he did this. And there are more Raos also. Now, what the Gemara is going to do now is going to try to work its way through the story and figure out, so how do you make sense of these things that he did? So Elamani Makayim Madua Bazisas Dvar Hashem Lasos Hara. All right, so what do we do with this pasuk? So basically, what happens is after he does this whole thing, Nasan Hanavi rebukes him. He gives him a mashal, and he gives him a mashal about basically he describes the whole scenario of David and Bathsheba and Uriah, and gives a mashal of like a poor man and a rich man, and the poor man has one sheep, and the rich man basically takes it, and he gives this whole mashal. He says, "So David, how do you paskin? What do you hold?" And David's like, "That's the most horrible thing. It's disgusting." And he's like, and the Nuss is like, "That's what you just did," and he's like, "Oh my gosh, I can't," you know, and in this discussion in the Musar, he says, "Madua bazisas? How could you be mevaza the Devar Hashem to do such a thing?" So to do ra. So how do you justify this pasuk? What does this pasuk mean? If you're going to tell me that David didn't sin to the extent that seems to be sinned, whereas that should be asa. No, that he sought to do, not that he did. Amar Rav and Rav said, Rebbe da asi mi David mahapech v'darish b'schusay de David. He says, Rebbe, who comes from Malchus based David, right? Of course, Rebbe was the Nasi, Rebbe Huda Nasi. He came from Malchus based David. He turned it around and darshened this pasuk as a schus for David. And he's going to do this also for the next bunch of lines. He's going to reinterpret psukim, take them out of their pashat understanding to defend them. Now, what are your thoughts about the introduction? I've never heard Rav introduce Rebbe like this. Usually Rebbe is a man who requires no introduction, right? You just say Rebbe, but Rav introduces him as coming from David. So what are your initial thoughts when you hear that? Without trying to sound like trying to avoid sounding like an apikoros.
I mean, the question shot as a lay person would say, like, he's defending the honor of his Alta Zeta.
Mm-hmm.
But gave it over, huh?
Right. So I guess you could say that. You could say that, you know, he's trying, like, Rav says, Rebbe, by the way, he came from David Melech, so he had his own interpretation. So it could be that's Rav saying, take it with a grain of salt, even though Rav is a Talmud of Rebbe, of course. He says, and everyone's a Talmud of Rebbe, especially Rav, but he says, take it with a grain of salt, or he's from the Malchus based David, so he has a very specific Mesorah, a very clear Mesorah, you know, that dates back perhaps from David HaMelech himself. You know, which and of course we don't assume David HaMelech is a liar, and we know about David HaMelech's humility, and we know how he wrote Tehillim, and so much of Tehillim and confesses his sins, and if despite all that, there's a Masorah saying what Rebbe says, so perhaps it's something to attribute even more to it. I don't know. It's just something to think about as you do your Chazara. To try to understand this introduction that Rav had to Rebbe's whole exposition. So anyway, so this is what Rebbe says. So Madua Bazi says Dvar Hashem Lasosara. Rebbe Omer. Rebbe said Mishuna Razumi Kol Raos Shabatora. This Ra, this evil is different than all the Raos Shabatora. Shakol Raos Shabatora, because all the Raos Shabatora. But I think by the Torah, it means like Torah, like Tanakh. I think it's referring to Navi. Ksiv Bahu Vayas. It says Vayas, that he did evil. Right? As we see, the Torah, the Navi describes the actions of a lot of Malchei, Yehuda and Yisrael, and all of them, it says, or many of them, it says Vayas Ra Bein Hashem. They did evil in Hashem. Vikan Ksiv La Sos. Over here it says to do, in future tense, that he was to do. That's how he interprets it. Rebbe says that this is unique. By the actions of most kings, when it says they did evil, it says Vayas Rabbein Hashem, it says for him that he bazisa la'asos davar, that you were mevaze to do something bad, but you didn't actually do it. That's how Rebbe understands this. This he says it's an anomaly in the wording, and there's good reason for that. It's because he didn't actually do it. Then the pasuk continues. Nasan Anavi's rebuke continues. Es Uriah Hachiti Hekisa Becherev, that you killed Uriah Hachiti with the sword. And then the pasuk will continue a couple line down, skipping a line. The Es Ishta Lakachas Lacha Leisha, and you took his wife, right? So that sounds pretty bad, right? You killed Uriah Hachiti and you took his wife. No, says Rebbe. That really it was fitting for you to judge him in Sanhedrin and in the Sanhedrin in court, and you didn't judge him in court. Meaning, really he was chayav misa. You could have taken him to court and taken care of him, as the Gemara is going to explain why. There's something he did inappropriate that he was deserving the death penalty, and you didn't do it. You left it up to Hashem. You put him at the front line of the army, and said, you know, go. You know, Hashem, you decide if he's going to make it or not. But really, you could have taken him to court, and you didn't. Ves ish lekachas lecha leisha, and his wife you took as a wife. So it says lekuchin yeshlach ba, that you the lashon of lekachta lecha leisha means that you took her as a wife halachically. It worked. There was a real likuchin. There was a real isha. It's not right. If it was adultery, she's not considered his wife. The a noef and a noefes are not considered husband and wife. He's saying no. Lekach de lecha isha. You actually indeed took her as a wife to you. So Rebbe reinterprets this pasuk to say not a condemnation of David, but rather even a praise and a halachic a hechsher, a praise of David and a hechsher on his marriage. So here's the justification. Wait, hold on. What do you mean he married her? He took her when she was married. It wasn't after Uriah. So this is what Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani explains. Rav Yonasan and Imre doesn't call Yotzin Lachamas Beis David Kosev get Krisus Leishto. Anybody who goes out to a war of Beis David, right? Anybody of Beis David who goes out to war. Or a war on behalf of Beis David, meaning if David sent you out to war, this is how they did things. Kosev get krisus leishto. They would write a get to their wives. Shinamar, the pasuk says, Vesaseres charitze hachalav ha'ela tavi lesar ha'elef vesachicha tifgod l'shalom vesaruvasam tikach. So this is earlier. This is before David is king, and David's brothers are at war, and Yishai, David's father, sends David to greet his brothers and bring them stuff, and he says, check how they're doing, and ves aruva sam tikach, take for them their like aruva, like everyone, it's like a security, But over here, we're going to darshan it. My Eruv Asam, what does it mean, Eruv Asam? Tani, Rav Yosef, Dvarim, Hama'urivin, Beino Lebeina. Things that are mixed up between him and her. Meaning that it's darshaning Eruv Asam as referring to these gittin that they would write. So basically, Yishai sent David ahead and said, David, go to your brothers and make sure you bring back gittin for their wives just in case. And that's, I guess, a practice David learned from Yishai and instituted in his army. That means that when Uriah went out to war, there was already, Bathsheba already had a get. It's actually a machlokas of Rashi and Tosos, where the exact mechanics of this get, which is a discussion, going to be a discussion in Gittin, Rashi says that it's al tanai. Get krisos al tanai. Sheim yomos tei megoreshes miachshav. Upamim shahu torid betseiso v'shocho min amalchama. Right, so it's like it's a conditional get, while Tosos over here in get krisos kosei leisha, he quotes Rashi and says it doesn't make sense. It can't be a conditional get. It's a real get, and then they get remarried afterwards. Obviously, there are a lot of nafkaminos of what would take place in the interim, but that's more of an in discussion. Okay. V'oso haragta becharev b'nei Amon. And it says, and Yonasan continues, and him you killed with the sword of the b'nei Amon. So, mancherev b'nei Amon. What does it mean with the sword of b'nei Amon? So he says, i'ata ne'enash alav af ur, i'ata ne'enash alav af ur yachiti i'ata ne'enash alav. He says why does Nosson and Navi say you killed Uriah with the sword of the Bnei Amon? Then so it's the Gemara's darshing it just like probably Rebbe, just like you wouldn't be held accountable for killing the Bnei Amon, so you're also not being held right. It's the sword of the Bnei Amon, the same sword that you wouldn't be held accountable for. You killed Uriah with, meaning you're fine. My Taima, what's the reason? Why would he not be held accountable for killing Uriah? Why is it like the Bnei Amon? What could he have judged him? So Moreid b'malchus, right? He rebelled against Hava. He was a Moreid b'malchus. He was someone who rebelled against the king. Damar lei, because right, he said to him, this is in the pasuk where David summons he summons him and tells him that he can go home and be with his wife. So he says no. He says v'adoni yoa v'avdi. Va'avdei Adoni al pnei asad echonin. He says, no, my master Yoav and the servants of my master are gonna stay in the camp. I'm not going home to my wife. I'm staying with my unit. And so, what exactly was inappropriate here? Just seeing if there are different opinions. I want to see what. Right, so different possibilities of first of all calling Yoav Adoni. You don't say my master when you're talking to the king. You should say Avdecha, right? And also he mentioned he also mentioned Yoav first before he mentioned David. Could be the fact that he's just straight up rejecting the words of David. David said go do this, and he says no. So any of these reasons, he Morib ben Malchus and really Chayiv Misa, or right, according to the Rambam or others, at least a court case. David let him off the hook like that and just put him on the front line of the army, which he's entitled to do, and he died that way. Amar Rav said, "Ki ma'enes be b'David lo mishkachas be bar mide uria." So he says, and Rav then says, I guess reflecting, he says, you know, when you're ma'ayin into the inyanei David, so you don't find anything that he, you don't find anything in him, like he didn't do anything wrong except for what happened with Uriah. Diksiv, as the pasuk says, "Rak b'davar Uriah achiti," or the pasuk in reflection of David's life in Malachim says the only thing David did wrong was the thing with Uriah achiti, which seems to be mashma, not Bathsheba, right? Rashi says, he didn't sin with Bathsheba, the Uriah Chiti. Now, I think Pashup Shat, you would say Uriah Chiti and everything involved in that scenario, but it's taking the Gemara Rav is taking his words, the words of the Navi at face value. No, Uriah Chiti, it was the only thing that was done wrong, which does seem to go a little bit against what we just said. But Rashi says it's Grama, he caused it. So Abaye Kishisha Rami, Derav Adarav. So Abaye Kashisha says it's a contradiction of Rav against Rav. Mi amar Rav hachi? Did Rav really say this? V'hamar Rav ki bel David lashon hara. But Rav said that David was makabel lashon hara once, and we'll bring that in a minute. Kasha, it's a kasha, right? Because on the one hand, Rav said the only thing David HaMelech did wrong is he is that the thing with Ori Achiti, and but then Rav says elsewhere that he spoke lashon hara, and we're going to look into that lashon hara in a minute. Oh, we'll look into it now. we're running short on time. Gufa, this itself is a question. Rav Amar Kibel David Lashon Hara. Rav says David Makav Lashon Hara. Because the pasuk says Vayomer Lo HaMelech Eifo Hu Vayomer Tziva El Melech Hine Hu Beis Machir Ben Amiel Below Davar. Okay. So a little bit of introduction. So David HaMelech wants to do something good for the Beis Sheol after Sheol is dead. He wants to find any survivors of Yonah's son. He made a pact with Yonah's son. And he finds that Yonah's son has a son named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is Piseach. He's lame. He was dropped by, I believe it was a maidservant when they were escaping at one point, and he was lame. And there was a, he had a, he had a, there's a servant named Tziva, who was a untrustworthy servant, like always had to get Mephibosheth, but he worked for him. So anyway, David HaMelech was asking Tziva, who's around, and Tziva tells him below Davar, which is going to be darshaned as that he's like a nobody. Below Davar, Rashi says Eino Chacham B'Torah V'Hu Matzo Mele Davar V'Chacham B'Torah. So Tziva said about Mephibosheth, he's like, nah, he's an imbecile. He doesn't know any. He's empty. And then he finds out that Mephibosheth is actually a big Talmid Chacham and a tzaddik. So v'ksiv, and then the pasuk says after v'yishlach haMelech v'kachei mibeis machir ben Amiel milo davar. Right. So it changes the lashon of below and milo, and that alludes to it's being darshened as that as if Tziva said lashon hara about Mephibosheth. That first he said it's below davar. He don't worry, you don't want to deal with him. He's a low davar. He's a guy who knows low davar. He doesn't know anything. And then the pasuk later writes melo davar, mashma filled with things, meaning he was a big talmid chacham. So this drasha, but now this drasha is a drasha. It's not, this one is not explicit in the text. However, as we'll quote momentarily, later in the text there is explicit lashon hara and lying lashon hara that Tziva says about Mephibosheth. So the Gemara says, Michti, let's see. Chazaya de Shikrahu. He saw, David HaMelech saw that Mephibosheth, that Tziva was a liar. Ki hadar al shino ilave, my time al kilomine. So when he went back and he said Lashon Hara about him afterwards, the next time around, why did David HaMelech accept that from him? So here's the Lashon Hara that's explicit in the text. Dixiv, the pasuk says, Vayomer HaMelech el Tziva, Aye ben Adonecha. Okay, so this is what's going on here. There's a lot of like Navi background we need for this Gemara. David HaMelech was fleeing from Avshalom, and at various points he was right because Avshalom was trying to become king. Avshalom was David HaMelech's son, and he was fleeing from Avshalom, and in his journeys he was greeted by different people at different times, people who were showing that they were with the king, and at one point Mephibosheth does not show up. Tziva shows up. Now, the reason Mephibosheth doesn't show up, Mephibosheth is broken. He's mourning. He's basically in avelos as long as David is gone. David's hiding. David leaves Yerushalayim, he leaves his palace, and he goes into hiding while Avshalom is taking over his home, and Avshalom is publicly being mezana with David's pilagshim. It's a horrible bizayon to the Malchus, and Mephibosheth loves David Melech. He's broken. And Tziva leaves Mephibosheth at home and goes out to greet David and says, Mephibosheth doesn't want to come. Now Mephibosheth, right? He doesn't. There's no wheelchairs. He doesn't have. Right? The Mephibosheth relies on Tziva, and Tziva went out and tells him, Yomar Melech, I ate Tziva. I've been out of Nech. He says, Tziva, where's the son of your master, Yonah's son? Where's his son? Yomar Tziva, El Melech, Hine, Hu Yoshev Yerushalayim Gomer. He says, no, he's in Yerushalayim. He doesn't care. How do we know that David was makabel this lashon hara? Because the pasuk says, he gives the entire estate, which the king has the power to do, of Mephibosheth, he gives it to Tziva. He says, Tziva, everything is yours. Right? So he says, right, he says, right, he's just, he thanks him for that. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Lo kibal David Lashon Hara. Shmuel says, no, David was not Makabel Lashon Hara. Rather, Dvar Mani Karim Chazabeh. He saw things. There were signs, dvarim and ikarim, signs that pointed in the direction. Meaning, he heard what Siva said. He wasn't just makabel lashon hara. He said, okay, as halachically you're allowed to do. He looked into it. Did I freeze? No, I didn't. Good. Right. He looked into it to see, and he saw certain signs. Siva, the pasuk says, maybe Boshes ben Shaul. You're right. Mephibosheth, the descendant of Shaul, went down. Lefnei Melech, lo asa raglav, velo asa shvamo, ves begadav, lo kibes vegomer. He looked like he was in mourning. He didn't shave. He didn't change his clothing, launder his clothing. So he's a mess. V'ksiva yihiki ba Yerushalayim nekras haMelech, and it says that he came and greeted the king. Vayomer lo haMelech, and the king said to him, Lama lo halachta imi Mephibosheth? Why didn't you come with me? Right? Why didn't you come greet me when you had the opportunity? Now, what it looks like, by the way, these devarim and ikarim, the way he looked, it looked like he was mourning the fact that David was finally back after the death of Hashem. David's finally back. Could be it looked like he was mourning that, or that he just didn't make, perhaps that he didn't put himself together to greet the king in a proper way. But anyway, David saw those things, and that was why David said, aha, you know, it's not just Mekabel Tzivos Lashon Hara, like he looked into it, saw Devarim Nekarim. So Mephibosheth responds, Vayomer, he says, Adonai HaMelech, Avdei Rimani, my servant tricked me. Ki Amar Avdecha, Achshali, Hachamor, Va'akabalei, Va'elech Esamelech, Va'elech Esamelech. Right, so basically, he tricked him, and I want to go with the king now, kipiseach, because he was a piseach, and therefore he was not able to go on his own. Kipiseach avdecha, because your servant is a piseach. Vayiragel avdecha el adoni amelech, vadoni amelech kemalach elokim v'asato beinecha. And the king is like a malach elokim. Of course, I love you, David HaMelech, and he says, Mephibosheth says, you can have all of it. I don't really care about that. I'm just happy to see that you are back. And that's what Mephibosheth responds, which seems like, you know, I don't think the Gemara is saying this next point, but it seems that this should be an indicator that he was really righteous, you know, and right, right. This should like vindicate Mephibosheth, this statement. And in the Navi, David doesn't say, oh, you know what? You're really right. It all goes to you. David doesn't say that. The Gemara doesn't explicitly condemn him for that, but the Gemara is now going to darshan those words further and discuss this case a little bit more, but we'll leave that to the Rav to do.